Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up in tonight's programme, I'll be looking at the Irish charity Bóthair, which has been well supported by people in Donegal over the years and has made a big difference to many people living out in Africa. To tell me more, I've been speaking with its CEO, Dave Maloney. And later on, I'll bring you an interview with Stephen Canavan, who's spearheading the early warning system that has been set up by the IFA's National Animal Health Committee. But first, let's turn our attention to Bóthair and find out more about this charity, which has strong links with the agricultural sector. Its CEO, Dave Maloney, is in Donegal this week and will be visiting a number of schools here. He's been telling me more about the charity, which has seen countless animals from Ireland being sent out to Africa. Dave Maloney, CEO of Bóthair. It's coming up to Christmas again, always a busy time for the charity. And I know many of our listeners here in Donegal, particularly those in the farming community, will be well acquainted with Bóthair. But maybe we can begin by just giving us a little bit of background about how it all began.
Absolutely, Chris. Bóthair began in 1991. Some of the village elders in Limerick, if you like, as part of the Treaty 300 celebrations in Limerick, some key figures decided that they would like to do something for the less well-off people in Uganda. One of the team had seen some literature about flying cows or sending cows or giving cows to people to help them get on their feet and get them climbing out of poverty. And an ad hoc group of Limerick people then sent 20 in-calf heifers to Uganda from Shannon Airport. That was back in 1991, and it was planned to be a once-off gesture, but when the group had sent the animals and when the public learned about it, they continued to donate funds and livestock to this ad hoc committee, and so much so that the committee felt that it behoved them to capture the enthusiasm and to, you know, continue with the organization. So they employed a CEO to guide it in 1991, and we're still here today in 2017, having flown thousands of in-calf heifers, goats, pigs, hens, AI straws, you name it. And the story has just become better and better and better down through the years. We're very, very proud of the organization.
Now, many charities may just take a purely financial contribution, but I suppose one of the beauties of Bóthair is, as you've mentioned there, the fact that people know that by having animals out there, you're making a direct impact on people's lives in small villages in many rural areas that are very thankful for what you've done.
Absolutely, Chris. And coincidentally, we have a film crew in Rwanda. And they have gone down with two donors from Bóthair, two gentlemen that donated animals to us in 2006, and they're meeting the families that got their cows. And those families, we're recording those families telling the donor the story of how those animals have benefited their families in the last 11 years. So the donors, one from Kerry and one from Moat, are going to hear it's, you know, directly from the people that have benefited from their generosity so many years ago. The beauty of Bóthair is, Chris, that 100% of the donation that those families made in 2006 is still there today. It's still there today after a decade of providing for families in rural Rwanda, so far away, helping them put a roof over their head, helping them to educate their children and feed their children. So it's a fabulous story, and we're going to be doing up a little piece all about the experience those two donors are having in the coming weeks. So we're going to just let the Irish public know how important the work of Bóthair is, and the significance of giving us a live animal. That animal will still be there in 10 years' time, producing and helping its families. So it's a great story, and as I said, we're hugely proud of our achievements down through the years.
Now, many of the animals going out, of course, are going to countries where the climate is considerably warmer than we have here. So I take it, obviously, some breeds are more suitable than others.
They are. Like, the animals that we send, Friesian Holstein, cows and San and Toggenburg, those types of dairy breeds of goat, thrive better in the summertime. Like any dairy man in Ireland will tell you that his cows are happier, more content in the summer. And Bóthair only sends animals to areas where, you know, the animals will thrive and they'll survive and they'll do well. We do a huge amount of due diligence before we send an animal anywhere. And you know, the actual flying of the cow is just the final part of the entire exercise. Before the animal goes, we ensure that the area it's going to is right, that the farmers are prepared, trained and ready to receive the animal, that adequate housing is built, that the area near their home is fenced off, and that they're growing fodder, and that the cow will, you know, survive as long as it would back in Ireland, only it'll have a perpetual summer. It's like a warm summer's day every day where our animals go. So,
now, many people here in Donegal may have become aware of Bóthair through some of your advertising campaigns, and you've been very successful there with a number of catchy jingles and catchphrases.
Yeah, we like to be trendy if we can at all, and a little bit different. We strive to be positive and friendly and entrepreneurial, if you like. It isn't often that charities, of which we are one in this sector, have got a very good story to tell or put on a very positive front. It's difficult to put on a very positive front when you're dealing with people that are very poor, marginalised, and suffering. But we try to keep it catchy. We try to attract attention to ourselves.
Yeah. And the phrase, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Is there any particular story behind that?
There isn't. We had a brainstorming meeting in the office about 6 or 7 years ago, and we came up with that tag. It's something that every family is familiar with when children are heading off to the beach for the day or heading off an adventure with their parents sitting in the back of the car, and they just keep saying, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? And we get a fabulous reaction to that catchphrase every year. Some people love it and ring in to us and write in and say they know Christmas is beginning when they hear that ad on the radio or on the telly, and then it really irks other people, and they phone us up and ask us to stop using that ad. It's driving them bonkers.
Now, you're going to be in Donegal this month visiting a number of national schools, and the charity, I suppose, really resonates with a lot of children, and they identify with you very easily.
They do. We're in two schools now, one in Raphoe, one in Letterkenny, this week. We spend a lot of time, when we can, going to schools and just explaining to school children all about Bóthair and what we do, and the effectiveness of using livestock in the developing world. When we're speaking to school children or making presentations, we don't ask the students, the school kids, for anything. We don't ask them for money, or we don't ask them. We just explain to them the work of Bóthair and, you know, the positive impact of sending a live animal. And we have different presentations that are geared up for different ages of children, from infants up to third level students. We have different presentations, and they only last 20 minutes. And often the questions and answers session after the presentation throws up a lot more opportunity for us to get deeper into Bóthair's work. So it keeps the children interested, because they always only ask questions about areas that have you know, perked their interest, if you like. So it's great. We really enjoy doing it, and we have a very keen focus on spreading the word.
And no doubt many people from the farming community and the general community in Donegal have contributed over the years.
They have, Chris. The farming community in Ireland farmers, dairymen, beefmen, tillage lads, that they are the backbone of the organisation. All through the recession, Boher survived, from the beneficence of the farming community in Ireland. We kept receiving offers of entry heifers, sucky calves, to help us continue our work. And it's like the agricultural community in Ireland, Donegal, every county in Ireland, they are the fabric of the organisation. And without them, we wouldn't be around. They help to maintain Boher's uniqueness in that the farming community in Ireland have resources, very specific resources, that they want to use to help poor people. And Boher have the expertise when it comes to flying them, training the beneficiaries and placing the animals. So we work hand in hand, and we just couldn't do it without them and their enthusiasm. It's great.
And finally, Dave Maloney, CEO of Boher, coming up to Christmas, it's a time that many people will actually donate through charities. If somebody wants to find out more information, I suppose the website is probably the best first port of call.
Absolutely. It's boher.org, boher.org, or 1-800-268-463. We'd be delighted to talk to anybody about anything. Please get in touch.
Dave Maloney there, the CEO of Boher. By the way, the two schools that he's visiting in Donegal this week are St. Eunan's National School in Raphoe and the Gaelscoil in Letterkenny. Now, changing tack and onto animal health, an early warning system has been in place for some time. To find out more, I've been speaking with Stephen Canavan of the IFA's National Animal Health Committee.
Been around for a while. But it was picked from the Livestock Committee and such like subcommittee. The Animal Health Committee has been resurrected there over the last year under Joe Healy as president. He thought it was far too important to be left to a subcommittee, so we have set up a national, an Animal Health Committee, So there has always been the early warning system there for several years. It's only now that it has been selected from the Animal Health Committee, so to speak.
So how exactly does it work in practice?
How does it work in practice? It's run in conjunction with the Department of Agriculture. As you said, there's four regional kind of chairpersons, or whatever you like to call it, representatives on it. And we are to meet on a regular basis with the department to give us pointers on animal welfare issues more than anything, We're there kind of to mediate, when an animal welfare issue arises in one of our counties, in conjunction with that county's IFA, the county chairman or my colleague would say in Donegal there,
Brendan McLaughlin,
yeah. When something is flagged, we're kind of brought in there to kind of mediate before a situation might escalate, Kind of an animal welfare issue, we'll say, if there was a father crisis or if a farmer had a bereavement in the family and things got neglected a little, or if a farmer fell into illness and was unable to look after stock, or if there was a disease breakdown whereby, say, TB, for instance, where things got on top of him and he couldn't sell stock and maybe became a little careless things like that.
So in effect, it's really a helping hand.
Yeah, and kind of a mediator, so to speak, where some people that could find themselves in this situation maybe mightn't look too kindly on the department and tell them what to do and enforcing the rules, so to speak. And we try and intervene there, and alleviate the situation,
And give them a few tips and maybe guidelines.
I'm led to believe now, we haven't met the department yet. But there is a kind of a code of conduct and certain pointers on different issues and guidelines where we could follow. You know what I'm saying now?
Yeah. And just turning to the whole sector in general, as you mentioned, since Joe Healy became president, it has been resurrected as a fully fledged committee within the National Council. And that shows really the importance of it.
Well, sure, it's becoming increasingly important, animal health issues and the consequences of the same, are particularly important, we'll say, for food safety and animal health and animal welfare and all of that,
And in this country, when we do get alerts about something that maybe there's been an outbreak in Britain or something has spread or something's coming our way, so far, we do generally cope with these things fairly well.
We have in the past, anyways, yeah. And it can only get we can only become more efficient with the Animal Health Committee in place. It's a remarkable little committee, you know, where we're continually on the trail of the TB and BVD, and now Jonas diseases have become more prevalent. But the whole area of antibiotic resistance coming on stream and things like that, you know. So we really need to keep our ears to the ground, you know. Mm. It's kind of where it's at with food safety, you know. Our consumer is demanding more and more transparency and safer food all the time.
Stephen Canavan there of the IFA's National Animal Health Committee. Well, that's it for tonight's show. Time has beaten us once again. From me, Chris Ashmore, as always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, goodbye.